Well, it's good to be here this morning. I trust you brought your Bible. We always want to bring our Bible to church. When you get ready to go to church on Saturday night, you get the coats out and get everybody ready to go. You put your Bible out and you bring it with you. Take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament this morning. The first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. We're going to go to the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28. And we're going to look at verse 18 this morning. Matthew 28:18. I want to thank the choir, special music, Brother Rick, and Mrs. Ross on the piano, and all of you folks that have given yourself this week. Great choir numbers, great music, and great testimonies from the missionaries, great preaching. We've just been having a great time. You notice the emphasis on the word great. And emphasis here today is great. Things are going great. I know I sound like Tony the Tiger, but it's good to smile. I like seeing some smiles out there. And if I have to, I'll just tell jokes all morning here. But if you start smiling, that would be good. And I realize you're tired, and it's been a good week. But appreciate Brother Shear, Mrs. Shear. What a blessing they are to me and to my wife. My wife could not be here today. She's back in Milwaukee. For 30 years, I planted and started the Souls Harbor Baptist Church. And what a joy to be able to turn that church 6 months ago over to my son. The church voted and put him through the full candidate process. And he had to be a candidate to be the pastor. And he went through all of that and was voted in as the pastor. But he had to stay with me for 2 years. And that was 2 years ago. And so from the time the church was 28 until the time the church turned 30, just 6 months ago, he was my co-pastor. And so God richly blessed in that transition. I was able to hand the baton over to him. He took it, and he's running with it now. And it's exciting. Thursday night at our midweek service, we had Dr. Clarence Sexton preach from Knoxville, Tennessee. And a great crowd of folks came to hear Dr. Sexton. God has blessed us with a great building. We have a big balcony. And my son called me. It was 11:30 his time, 10:30 Montana time, Thursday night. He said, "Dad, we had to use the balcony tonight." And so that was exciting for me as the preacher for many, many years to hear about the great crowd. And thank God for the great legacy here at Heritage Baptist Church. You know, your church was started by another church here, from what I gather, in Great Falls. And that's called Reproduction. And you know, America needs us to reproduce ourselves. Now, you do that through all of your missionaries. Every time they plant a church on a foreign field, you are reproducing yourself. And that's biblical. You'll see that in a minute as we read the scripture. But America now is a heathen nation. We still have a great number of missionaries that go from our country, but it's not like it once was. And our country is, as you know, going further and further away from God. You know, you say, "Well, I'm going to trust in Washington, D.C. I'm going to trust in the White House." My friends, that's a mistake. We need to pray. We need to be involved with that process, but not trust in it. We need to trust in God. And we need to be faithful to our local church. We need to be praying for our pastor and the leaders, your assistant, your pastor, their families, your deacons, the leadership of this church. And you need to stand with this church. You need it more than you know. And they need you. We need each other. And you know, as we look at America today, we see a great, great need. You know, some churches that used to stand for God today have completely gone away from the Word of God. They were good Bible-believing churches. Some thundered forth even this truth that we should never go away from the Word of God. But they're gone today. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And that's why we need to be so prayerful for our biblical leadership, that they would stay right. So now we have to go to these communities that have lost these good churches, and we have to do what we call reseed. And you say, "Well, that's exciting. I wish we didn't have to do that." But we need to do it now. What's our choice? To walk away? To ignore the great need? No. We need to go and do the backbreaking but faithful work of reseeding. We right here in Montana, we have many communities that don't have a clear Bible-believing church witness. I was made aware last night of a need of a town called Scobey, Montana. They need a good church. There's a family there that wants a good Bible-believing church. You say, Scobey, that's almost to Canada. Well, amen. They need good churches in Canada, too. So Inner City Baptist Missions, which I've been leading now as still the pastor at Souls Harbor for 20 years, called Inner City Baptist Missions, an agency where we plant churches across America in major cities. Now, as you saw in the video, I want to go beyond just the inner cities now and go to the small towns. So we changed our overall heading to Reaching America Baptist Partners. And so I'm praying for Scobey. I'm praying. We have a young evangelist here in our state, and he and I had a good prayer meeting this week. And he said, Brother Hoover, I would like to buy a tent, and I would like to go to some of these small towns and for a week or two hold evangelistic meetings. And then out of that, pray that God would raise up some new Christians, some new believers, and see them developed into a local church. I said, that is great. So you pray about that. You're the first church that's heard about it. And so I'm excited about that. He could go with his dear wife and their two little children and go to Scobey and have an evangelistic meeting in the summertime and see a tent filled with people from that community. Wouldn't that be exciting? Maybe have several churches. The closest church that we could identify to Scobey, Montana, that I'm aware of, is in Sydney, Montana. That's a good independent Baptist church. We would like to see that. Thank you, sir. We would like to see that church and some other churches. We planted a new church in Williston, North Dakota. And Sydney, Williston, Miles City, maybe Great Falls, Lewistown. See some of those neighboring communities bring their church people under that big tent. Knock on doors. Cover the town with John Romans. Talk to as many people about the Lord as possible for weeks in advance and then see a work start in Scobey. You pray about it. I don't know that it'll happen this summer, but God is able and God is desirous. People tell me at the door, well, I hope to see you tonight, preacher. And I said, yes, I hope to see you. And they said, Lord willing, we'll be here. I said, the Lord is willing. And certainly the Lord is willing. The Lord is willing that we plant a church in Scobey, Montana. But are we willing? That's the question. Are we willing? Are we willing? Please stand as we read the Word of God. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And please read along with me as we read the Word of God. Ready? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's remain standing for prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege it is for me to stand here at 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning and preach from this pulpit. I thank you for Brother Shearer sharing his pulpit with me. And I thank you for the opportunity we have today in these last days in which we live to look up. You told us part of the end times was to look up. And some of us are looking down, and maybe we lost a quarter someday in the past, and we're still looking for that quarter. We're all downhearted, maybe. But Lord, help us to be uphearted and lift up our heads and lift up our eyes and see the world as you see it. Help us today to be encouraged. Lord, you've given us so much as Christians. If we truly are saved, we are so blessed today. So help us today to rejoice and to look out with great vision. Bless Heritage Baptist Church and these six missionaries. We thank you for how the church has treated us. Oh, Lord, it's been such a great time. And then bless this afternoon at the 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Bless the nursing home service. And I pray that you'll just give us a great, great time together. Help us to avail ourselves of the opportunities. Bless Pastor Mrs. Shear. Watch over them and Pastor Mrs. Commander. And pray, Father, for each of the missionaries as they travel to the next place, that you'll give safety. Help us now as we want to do more for you. Help us in our own personal families that we would stand for that which is right. Bless these dear bus children. Thank you for them. We love them. And, oh, Lord, it softens our heart as we see them, those precious lives. And some would have to say that no man careth for my soul. But there is a church right here that cares for their soul. There is a bus captain. There is a bus driver. There is a pastor. There are Sunday school teachers and workers in this church that care for the souls of people in Great Falls, Montana. Help us now in these moments as we lift up our eyes and we see the power, the authority of the Word of God. We see what You commanded us to do. Bless now in these moments as we compare a dead church and a live church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to preach to you on the omission of the Great Commission. The omission of the Great Commission. Right here is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18, 19 to 20. Jesus gathers His disciples. You see there in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. That's part of our problem, isn't it? We doubt. You know, we serve an almighty, all-powerful God. If you can't see that in Montana, you just can't see. Look at the beauty and the power of this place and the beauty around us. I stand in awe every time I come. You know, I lived here from 7th through 12th grade, actually from 5th through 12th grade. My dad pastored in Miles City. We left the Bay Area of California, 4 million people, and he came to a town of 10,000 people, Miles City. 2 years later, God blessed in a wonderful way that ministry there at the church, Baptist Tabernacle, back in the 60s. And the Intermountain Baptist Fellowship said to my dad, "Brother Hoover, you've planted churches all over California. Why don't you plant some churches for us here in Montana?" And so they said, "Well, we don't have any churches in the western side of the state. Would you go to Missoula?" And so my dad went on a survey trip and felt led to resign his church there in Miles City and start the Bible Baptist Church of Missoula. We started the First Baptist Church of Superior. We started the Plains Baptist Church. And we started a church down in Hamilton all in 6 years. From 7th through 12th grade, I was busy serving the Lord. What a blessing. It blessed my heart. It changed my life. There's nothing like serving God. You want to see God do something with you? Jump in both feet. We came to this missions conference to get in, not to get out. Amen. I have enjoyed the preaching, the singing, everything about it. I've been sitting on the front row. There's nothing like the front row. I tell you, I enjoy the front row. And I want to be as close as I can. Now, folks, why don't we get a greater vision today? Why don't we lift up our heads? Why don't we see that the power of God is available to us today? He says, all power in verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in what? Heaven, everyone, and in earth. Come on. God, help us to realize we have all this power available to us today. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, into the age, into time. Listen, folks, He gives us power. We can see greater things happen. You say, what are we going to do, preacher? Are we going to be able to go up to Skokie? God is able. All power. Your preacher wants to see it happen. I'll tell you what, I'm encouraged by him cheerleading about Skokie, Montana. We need to pray for God's man to go to Skokie, Montana. A family of God that would just say, we want to go to a town of 1,500 people. Praise God for the good family that's already there. They need a good church. You say, but preacher, we don't have a building. Buildings are not a problem to God. But preacher, we don't have money. Money's not a problem to God. We don't have this, we don't have that. Come on. All power is given unto Him, He said. And He wants us to have that power. Next verse in verse 19, because of that great power and that authority, He says, Go and therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what does it say? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now listen. There are two churches I want us to look at in the Word of God. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. I want you to see this first church. It's called the church at Sardis. There are two churches I want you to see. In a little bit, we're going to go back to earlier in the New Testament to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at another church called the church at Antioch. But first of all, the church at Sardis. Remember, there were seven churches that were taught about here in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, we see the church of Sardis. Now here, remember, my title of the message is The Great Omission of the Great Commission. I want us to see two churches. This church is the church that thought they were alive. They thought they were alive, but they were dead. They were dead. But then there was a church over there in Acts that they were a Gentile church. You know, the Jews kind of looked at them a little bit askant, the Jewish believers. But they were a Gentile church, and they were the church in Antioch where they were first called Christians in the early New Testament church. Isn't that exciting? That's the place that they were so noticed. They were so filled with the power of God that people said, oh, those are Christians over there. I'm going to show you today the difference between a dead church and a live church. The dead church thinks they're alive, but they don't really reproduce. They don't ever really reproduce themselves. They are kind of like this. They've got all the arrows pointing in. All the arrows are pointing in, and none of the arrows are pointing out. They're focused on themselves. They're like the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea has no outlet, does it? The Dead Sea just takes in. It's an amazing place, they say over there in the Middle East, the Dead Sea. You can go and get on that water and you can just kind of float. There's so many chemicals in that water and so on. I don't know how it works, but you can just float along. And that's the way a lot of churches are today. They're just floating along. Pastor, don't get us too excited. We just want to be warmed and filled. We just are kind of happy with ourselves. God, help us from spiritual clubs. Amen? God, help us from being just focused on ourselves. God, help us from just focusing on ourselves as American believers instead of seeing what Jesus sees, seeing what God sees. As He looks across the world this morning, He sees the world. I can imagine the heart of God is broken yet. As He sees the world and He sees people wandering around as sheep having no shepherd. They're lost and they don't even know they're lost. Here yesterday we knocked on doors in the neighborhood around the church and we met some people that were lost. They didn't even know they were lost. And we tried to tell them of Jesus. Praise God, we saw one dear lady pray and ask Jesus to save her soul. God is still in the saving business. He just needs us. He just needs us to open up our mouth. But we're too afraid. This whole world, the devil and his crowd, they've shouted at us and they've mocked us and they've scorned us and maybe persecuted, nothing like around the world. But they've got us kind of like this today. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. They have no problem saying anything. The world doesn't have any problem. They swear. They cuss. They go on like nobody's business. They tell whatever comes to their fool head. It comes out their mouth. They're not afraid at all. But God, help us to lovingly, with godly speech, speak up and be heard. Here we see the church at Sardis, chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and there before his angels. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Folks, here's a church that was dead. They didn't even know it. I mean, they were in Sardis. Sardis was a very wealthy, affluent area. I mean, they had everything imaginable. And here, this church, I believe there were some that were saved. He says there are some. There are some. But he says, I know thy works, that you have a name. And your name says you're alive. But he says, you are dead. Wouldn't it be a tragedy this morning to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior? To have our sins set, washed away and our life set free? Wouldn't it be wonderful that we would realize, wouldn't it be sad though, if we didn't really live up to that name? The name above all names? The powerful name of Jesus? Wouldn't it be sad if we just kind of went along. You say, Pastor, you done quit preaching, gone to Mentland. I'm feeling convicted this morning. I'm getting nervous in my chair. Well, that's good. I like getting convicted. If God is speaking in my heart, I want to let Him speak. I want to get off that front pew and get to this altar. And Lord, forgive me. I want things to be right. I want things to be clear between You and me. I don't want anything between my soul and the Savior. You see, wouldn't that be good, though? We get a little convicted. You say, I like these padded pews. Before my mother, my father, a preacher for 54 years and went to be with the Lord 13 years ago. My mother went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. But years ago, after my father passed away, my mother loved Montana. She loved the pastorate there in Missoula, Superior, Plains, Hamilton. She loved those 7, 8 mile city. She loved those years. She said, I'd like to go back to Montana. And so I brought her back. We came to church on a Sunday morning at Heritage Baptist Church. Pastor Shear was standing up here. It was probably 12 years ago. And he was standing up here and he was raising money to buy those chairs. I can remember my mother raised her hand and I raised my hand to pay for one of those chairs. That was exciting. But sometimes our chairs get real comfortable and we get at ease and sighing. And we just want to just lay back, take it easy, just kind of float along on that Dead Sea. God, help us to get off that Dead Sea this morning and say, God, Lord, help me. Help me to want to get back in the fight, really in the fight. And if I get bloodied, so be it. I loved hearing about a preacher. A preacher that needed to raise money for a building. And he didn't want to give his own personal money, but he did. God had blessed him, and he had some substantial cash, and he was able to take that money and put it into the new building. And his words to me were, Jesus died for me. I'm going to give that money. I may not give it back, but I'm going to give it. Jesus died for me. Isn't that true? Jesus gave up everything for us. This church at Sardis has started out, I'm sure, well. They've started out well, but here they are. Dead. Dead. Sad. They didn't reproduce themselves. They appeared to be alive, but they were dead. They weren't producing the Great Commission in their ministry. Jesus says to them, be watchful. He says, wake up. He says, strengthen the things which remain. What had happened? They had lost their purpose. They had lost their focus. God has called us to reproduce. We were born to reproduce physically and spiritually. We're born to reproduce. This church should reproduce itself again. Now, you're doing that on the foreign field. But I'd like to challenge you to reproduce yourself here in the United States. You can do that. You say, well, Pastor, we got these obstacles, we got this, we got that. You'll always have something. There always will be something. You didn't have that problem 34, 35, 36 years ago when Brother Shear came. Things were meager back in those days. He's told me the story. Meager. But he didn't say, well, I don't know. It's Montana. It's Great Falls. It gets cold. It gets cold all over the north part of this country. I'm telling you what, it gets cold in Florida and Texas sometimes too. My son-in-law went and planted a brand new church 10 years ago in Corpus Christi. They sometimes in the winter get down in the low 30s. They have to let their water run in their pipes, you know, to keep it from freezing. Even in South Texas it happens sometimes. Amen. Don't let all the lies and excuses of the devil hinder you one iota. Number two, let's go back to Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Acts 11, I want you to see the authority, the power. He said, all power is given unto me. He says here, I want you to have all power. Here's the authority. What happens to a living church filled with the power of God in Acts 11, 19. And I want you to see, it was the church at Antioch. You say, well, that sounds interesting. That's way over in the New Testament. That's way back in the early days. That's in the first century. That's a long time ago. It is if it's the church in Great Falls called Heritage Baptist Church. We could just substitute your church name right here. Heritage Baptist Church. The authority of a living church. Notice, it was the first large Gentile church. In Acts chapter 11, verse number 19. Notice as I read down through verse 26. Verse 19, now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and in Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Notice quickly, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And you can read on. But I want you to see that last verse, verse 26. Christians. Are they calling you a Christian here at Heritage Baptist Church? Does this town know in Great Falls, Montana, that there are some real Christians in this town? They go over there to Heritage Baptist Church. They're here to serve the Lord, and they mean business for God. They're not here to just build themselves up, but instead to give and to be surrendered and to be yielded and to be serving God in these last days in which we live. Could it be said, after 35, your church is over 35 years old, could it be said that they're going with the same passion as they went at the most passionate time in their history? Would it be said of us today? God help us. You say, Pastor, I'm older now. We're getting older. I realize that. I know what it's like to get older. But you know what? Up until age 30, God helped me and prepared for the ministry. I pastored my first church in that first 30 years. Now, from age 30 to 60, I pastored one church. It's been a glorious ride. In the ghetto, I could tell you, if I had the time, all the stories of the ministry there in the ghetto. And what God did. I wanted to quit the first every day of the first 10 years. It was difficult, 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 difficult. I mean, crazy. But God sustained us. And today, I can't explain to you the goodness of God. When I turned 60, I said, Lord, give me another 30 years. 30, 30, 30. Give me another 30 years. I know what it's like to get older, but let's not lose our view. We have a camp at Castle Rock Baptist Camp that God has blessed me to be able to lead. It's called Caleb's Can. For you that are 55 and older, won't you come this summer, the last week of June? But let me tell you something about that. Old Caleb got to be 80 years old and he said, I want that mountain. He didn't say, no, I want to just sit and be happy and just sit here on the hammock and glide back and forth. No, he said, I want that mountain. God help us this morning as we close this service to say, God help us to want another mountain for God, to do something more at Heritage Baptist Church. You see, your pastor wisely and the leadership wisely has prepared for the future. This church is not going to die on the vine by God's grace. This church is not going to be, there was a church in Great Falls called Heritage. I remember that years ago. No! The best years are ahead of us by God's grace. Here it says in that early church, it was a great church where the believers were called Christians. It was a church that sent out provision to others. It was a church where the Apostle Paul based his three missionary journeys. This excites me. If you turn to the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, the map in the back of your Bible, you see every one of those journeys came through Antioch. Isn't that exciting? A great church that God used in a mission-minded way. I called my wife. I said, sweetheart, there's six missionaries in this missions conference. Six missionaries. Six! She said, Brother Shear does everything big. Everything big. Now, not to laud a man, but I'm telling you, we need to start looking at things much bigger. As Americans, we need to see how we can, as American, be a far greater nation by God's grace, to turn back to God, to seek for revival as a country. Oh, we need to see that lit in church after church after church after church after church, that we would get on our faces and say, oh God, send a revival with me. Help me to draw a circle on the ground and jump inside and say, send a revival to everything inside this circle. God, help us across America that we would see revival come and see a country turn back to God. He's saying, Pastor, it's never going to happen. We've gone too far. Well, it would appear that way. But God, the God of the impossible, is still on His throne this morning. Would you believe God to be a living church with authority and power to do great mighty things, or just to be a church that thinks it has a name, but God says, you don't have a name. Your name is dead. Deadness. Wouldn't that be sad? Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Father, we thank you for these dear people. Lord, we'd love to go on and on and on and share more. But Lord, we thank you for these two churches. May they ring in our minds. May we never forget. Bless now as we close this service and give an invitation. Lord, there's some Christians here this morning that possibly need to come to this altar and say, God, help me. Help me. I'm not ashamed to get out of my chair and make that pilgrimage to the front old-fashioned altar and to kneel and to pray these words, Lord, help me. I want to see America change. I want to see my church strengthened. I want to see my church with the authority and the power of God resting upon it, greatly used, the best years ahead instead of behind. Help me. Help us. Lord, help us. May that be our prayer. And then there's some folks here this morning, maybe that don't know Jesus as their Savior. They think they're saved. They profess to be saved, but the Holy Spirit right now is knocking. Jesus says, let me come in. Let me come in. Help them to come to this altar and bless as they say to the preacher, I need to get saved. Help us. Now, folks, just before I say amen, let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. We're giving the invitation. It's invitation time, folks. It's time to do business with God. It's time, right now. It's time, not next Sunday, not next service, now. Now, this is the time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to be a part of a living, live church. Not a church that thinks it has a name. Not a church that's living off its past, but a church that's living off the future promises and power of God. Now, folks, as you, I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. Won't you now really move out? If you're saved, praise God, come forward. If you're not saved, would you please come forward? Tell the pastor, I need to be saved. 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 I need to talk to you about my salvation. Whatever the case, don't hesitate. Today is the day. This is the day, April 23rd, 2017. Mark it down. This is the time. Preacher, come. Yeah.